The Daily Connect Podcast.
And it's Friday, and it's the 14th of December. Thank you so much for downloading. Coming up, we are in the forum. We'll be getting a chat with Alan George and Sandra Gere shortly. Also, we'll be finding out today about a star of Doctor who happens to be blind, a blind actress at a TV show. Our listeners will be happy. That is an interview coming up. Ellie Walwork is our guest later. Also, we're going to hear about the ongoing concerns that our Fern Lulham has on the concessionary travel schemes that exist around the UK. But first, we do get into the forum, and with me for that, I have Alan George and Sandra Gere. Hello to you both.
Hi, Steve.
Hello.
Hello. Right, let's get into it then. Today's forum is going to touch on three specific areas. We're going to talk about arts and culture and access to all of that. We're also going to be speaking about the big issues that you guys have as visually impaired people. Maybe you don't. I'll be interested to hear. And also pavement parking. It's the ongoing campaign from Guide Dogs. Just started this week, actually. But it's been ongoing on Twitter and on social media for quite a while. And it's I'd just be interested to know your thoughts on it. Okay, so let's kick off then with our first topic, which is around arts, culture, you know, experiencing the world in whatever way you choose to explore it. Sandra, you're one of the cultured ones among us. So
am I indeed?
We've decided that because you play classical music, so that's cultural.
Right, yeah.
So okay. tell us how you sort of find the cultural world out there.
In terms of going to productions, I cheat a bit and read the book first. So that even if someone next to me isn't audio describing everything, I can glue it together. It's like, okay, well, in the book, that's what happened there. So that's probably what they're doing now. So it's a bit of a two-part thing for me. In the theatre, operas, I find it more fun being in them than sitting there watching them, just as a thing. The cinema, I like the audio description. I kind of prefer it though when a human being is sitting next to me doing it, because when you've got the headphones on, you're kind of cut off from everyone and you can't enjoy it with everyone else, if you see what I'm getting at there. There's no camaraderie if it's you and your headphones sitting there. You might as well be on your own, I find.
Okay, that's interesting. Yeah, I tend to agree with that. What about you, Alan? Where do you stand on culture?
Well, I like some of the culture. I'm cultured music more. I like classical music, which is why I spend a great deal of listening to classic FM. Either drives people nuts or...
Hang on a minute, Alan. You could be listening to Sandra Gere on Music Box. You don't need that.
I know, but I can't remember when Sandra's on. Is it Monday night?
It's Monday night.
It is Monday night, yeah.
Oh, I got the right night, anyway. But, I like...
We'll give you a pass.
I like cultured music. In fairness, in Cardiff, they're very good. The theatres love to give audio description, and they do it as often as is humanly possible, as do some of the cinemas, but mostly the theatres. And what they also like to try and do, they arrange certain days, is to arrange for people to not just have audio description, but to go behind the scenes and see how the what the costumes are like and what the the scenery is like. So I think that's a good improvement, because it's very difficult. You know, you go to sit and listen to a play or something, you understand this play and everything, but it's nice to know how the scenery all comes together and how it all works.
The solution is get a job in the theatre and be in a production, then you get all of that anyway.
Yes, but I don't have a job in a theatre, so that I'm not working now. My mother used to work in a cinema. And
oh, did she?
Yeah, she was, she did usheretting and, you know, putting the films on. Because in those days, a film would be about four or five reels.
Yes.
And at the end of a reel, there's a little mark on the top of the film. And so they would know when to start the next reel, so it would all link up together. And she said, oh, she used to edit the reels as well. So she got used to telling me when I was starting to watch films, she said, look, I'll tell you what's going on. And she should have done audio description, because she was very, very clever at it. She's gone now, poor old thing, but... Yeah, she was very, very good.
That's amazing.
A fascinating world.
I mean, it's audio description has really changed, certainly for me, the whole experience of going to the movies. Up until about maybe 3 years ago, I could probably get by watching a movie, but now I'm at the position where I really need audio description so I can really see and enjoy the value in it. I have to say, I don't go to theatre very often. Shame on me, I know. And I know I should, but, you know, I just... I don't know. I don't know why I don't. Probably just lack
of time. It's not about should. I mean, it's supposed to be fun.
Yeah.
You know,
exactly.
Fun. No one's going to quiz you on it afterwards.
I don't often have time for fun, Sandra. You may notice I'm never out of the studio. But I do think it would be a great thing to go and do. But just in regards to that audio description thing, I mean, so Alan, you've tried it.
I've tried it a couple of times. It's brilliant.
Yeah.
You need it more today than you ever needed it, because a lot of modern films are so fast acting, especially what they're doing, you know, and what's on screen. So therefore, you do need people to fill in the gaps, especially if there's a chase, you know, or a police scene where everybody's driving around the city like they're possessed. So, you do need audio description. I mean, I had Sky, and I still had it for a while, but I'll be getting rid of it now because I live alone. It's very difficult. I don't know how you do it, but to find your way using a Sky box is very, very tricky because it doesn't speak.
Well, no, there's just Ofcom regulations or prescriptive measures coming in soon. Recommendations about a month ago, but I haven't heard any noises out of my Skybox.
No.
I rang the disability number type thing, and they spent ages talking to me about every button on my remote controller. I basically wrote them all down and brailled it out. And I can cope, I suppose, because I don't really explore very much. I know the channels I like, and that's the end of it.
Well, that's mainly what I'm doing. But I'm finding now that Freeview is very good, and all the new tellies have got Freeview in. Not only have they got Freeview in, but they actually they talk it. So when you get to a channel, it says you're on channel, ITV3, for instance. You're on ITV3. The time, it tells you the time, I don't know. The time is, and showing at the moment is, and how long it's on for, when it started, when it ends. You get all that junk, and then, it's not junk, but information. And then after that lot's finished, you go into the show and you're listening to an audio description comes on automatically.
Yeah, that is fantastic.
Cool.
Yeah, and I actually didn't realise, until very recently though, that a number now of the TVs that you can buy has this feature. I know that Samsung had it.
That's the Samsung A6400,
yeah,
which is the one I'm talking about. But I haven't bought it because I'm moving in a couple of weeks. So I will have that Samsung, and it's absolutely fantastic. But they told me the minute I plug a Skybox into it, all that switches off.
That's right, because only the TV itself, it has got that function, the Skybox, once you plug it in. As you see, once you turn over to that channel, if you like, all that goes away. But interestingly, LG also do it now as well.
Do they?
And Panasonic. So it's getting better. But you're right, the Skyboxes and Virgin Boxes, and actually the Freeview Boxes themselves, None of them speak.
No. Yeah. So I decided, I thought, right, blow this. I'm quite happy with Freeview. Most of what I watch would be on there. So I've got rid of Sky, or will be getting rid of it. And I'll just stay with Freeview, and it's more than I want.
What about on demand?
On demand, I think you're referring to the sort of internet catch-up services, aren't you, Stephen?
Yeah.
I find I prefer them on the computer than the smartphone, because I can access the audio described version of the program on the computer, whereas a lot of the time all I can get is just click play on whatever the program is on the smartphone. I don't want to start a kickoff about Android versus Apple, so I'm just saying smartphone.
Please don't. We'll save that for TikTok. I will say, though, and I haven't even announced this to my lovely audience on TikTok yet, but I'm now currently sporting an Android phone. That's all I'm saying.
I've got both.
Yeah, well, so do I, actually. But, I'm using an Android at the moment.
I got the Apple 6.
You've got the iPhone 6, right,
Apple 6. And I tell you what I do like. You know the RNIB in your pocket thing?
Yeah.
Well, I've got that. And now, of course, they've added the phone feature to it.
Yes, that's right.
And in all fairness, it doesn't do all the tricks. But at the same time, it does all you want it to do. You can make phone calls, you receive phone calls, you can send texts. So, you know, it does what you
basically what
you want.
So okay.
I think that's a good idea.
Right, I'm sure we could talk about culture all day, but let's stop for a second because...
I just wanted to make a comment about the sort of visual arts versus the sort of tactile art. Tactile art is great. The whole art on the wall thing leaves me cold, generally because I don't even know where it is and I have to be turned to face it. But there was one funny story where a group of friends and I were on a school trip to an art gallery, and I had a bet with them that if I was turned to face the right way and talked the talk... and hid my cane that I could pass myself off as sighted, and I won. I went on and on about the light and shade and the creation of space, and I didn't even know which wall it was on.
Well done.
Oh, that's good. I like that. Sandra and Alan, stay with it right there because we're going to come back and we're going to talk about some other topics, including your big issues. That's coming up.
The Daily Connect Podcast.
Yeah, more to come from the forum in a few moments, but first we turn to concessionary travel schemes, and our own Fern Lullum has been asking some serious questions about the schemes that exist around the country to help blind and partially sighted people and the wider disabled population get around more easily. Her concern is, are they good enough?
How can a disabled person get to work in the morning without paying in Scotland, but not in England? Pass? Or rather, concessionary pass? My name's Fern Lullum. I'm registered blind, I live in East Sussex, and I've got a concessionary bus pass. This allows me free travel on buses. For me, getting my bus pass was the equivalent of passing the driving test. Freedom to get wherever I need to get, whenever I need to get there. Or so you would think, unless you happen to live in certain English counties, including East Sussex. The English National Concessionary Travel Scheme was introduced in 2008 and allows free bus travel for disabled people. It is administered by travel concession authorities. In other words, county councils, London boroughs, unitary authorities, and passenger transport executives. The scheme is a huge benefit to many disabled people like me. Not just on a practical level, but it is also mentally and emotionally liberating and acknowledges our value as members of the community. Personally, I can use my bus pass to get to the local shops at the weekend. I can go to meet my friends in the town in the evenings, and I can visit places of interest throughout East Sussex. This is wonderful, and it increases both my own and my friends' expectations of my ability to be independent. But there is one place I cannot use my bus pass to get to, and it is the one place I need it for the most. My job starts at 8:30 a.m, meaning I need to catch a bus at about 7:45 a.m. What I didn't mention earlier is that the English National Concessionary Travel Scheme only allows free travel at off-peak times. That's after 9:30 a.m, Monday to Friday. There is a reason it is called the English National Concessionary Travel Scheme, and that is because in other countries in the UK, free travel is allowed throughout the day, not just at off-peak times. Not only that, but some travel concession authorities in England also allow free travel throughout the day, including peak times. For example, Transport for London recognises that disabled people have jobs and busy lives and should be allowed to access buses free of charge at all times. So we have the legendary postcode lottery situation, where disabled people are in the hands of their local travel concession authority, and it could mean the difference between holding down a job or not. According to the RNIB, two-thirds of visually impaired people of working age are not in employment, and difficulty in travelling to work could be a contributing factor in this unacceptable statistic. So why did the government decide that the English National Concessionary Travel Scheme should require travel authorities to provide free bus travel at off-peak times only? And more importantly, what message does this give to everyone about the government's expectations of the lifestyles of disabled people? The clear implication is that disabled people have no reason to be using public transport before 9:30 a.m., when everyone else is rushing off to work. By definition, this assumes that they are not employed, perpetuating a misinformed stereotype. But let's remember that some travel concession authorities in England have chosen to go further than the requirement placed upon them by the government and allow free bus travel at peak times too. My travel concession authority, East Sussex County Council, on the other hand, along with many other English county councils, have decided to restrict free bus travel to off-peak times. Why? I initially thought it must be a financial consideration, as travel concession authorities are required by law to reimburse bus operators for carrying concessionary passengers. I assumed that peak fares must be more expensive than off-peak fares, therefore achieving a saving by restricting concessionary travel to off-peak times. When I rang my local bus operator, Stagecoach, I was surprised to be told that adult fares are the same regardless of the time of day or night. So if the cost of travel is no more at peak times, perhaps this is not a financial issue. Are disabled people restricted to off-peak bus travel due to overcrowding on buses at peak times? This does not seem to be a logical reason either, as there are no restrictions later on in the day when people are coming home from work. And in any case, why should disabled bus pass holders have any less right to be on buses at peak times in the morning than anyone else? I spoke to my local county councillor, Judy Rogers, about the situation, and she said, "I am absolutely horrified to learn that your bus pass does not allow access to buses at peak times." She agreed that the message this gives out is that disabled people are unlikely to be employed, and that this assumption is offensive to the disabled community. Judy has promised to look into the matter for me, and I look forward to hearing from her in the near future. I would like to think that by highlighting this issue, the English National Concessionary Travel Scheme could be extended to include free bus travel at all times throughout England, to bring it in line with Scotland, Wales, Northern Ireland, and other forward-thinking travel concession authorities in England. This would promote inclusion for all and raise expectations in everyone.
The Daily Connect podcast.
This is The Daily Connect on RNIB Connect Radio, and with me today, Sandra Gair, host of Music Box. Hi, Sandra.
Hello.
And we've also got Alan George, host of Sons of the Silver Screen. Hi, Alan.
Hello.
Do you know, when I asked you earlier, Alan, if you were into your movies, I should have known, considering your show that you do. Yeah, of course you're into your movies, and your music from your movies, actually, more importantly.
Yeah.
Right, let's get into big issues then, because, you know, it's fair to say that we all have one thing that maybe gets us going, that maybe annoys us about the world around us, whether it be related to the sighted world or not. I'm intrigued to know yours. So, Alan George, what's your big issue?
I suppose, really, dialing main companies. Because you go through to most companies today and you got press 1, press 2, press 3 and the usual rubbish, and then you start your way through and then it'll ask you to press the first 6 digits of your account number or anything like that you might have a number to. And that's when I find things frustrating, because I don't know how many people actually know their gas account number in their heads. I don't. But and yet they'll say, it will begin with 9. Well, yeah, fine. Well done. Thank you. But so I find it's frustrating more than, and so therefore makes it annoying.
Mm.
And consequently, the next thing you do is ignore it. Then it asks you for something else which you cannot provide. So you ignore that. And then it will say, please key in your telephone number, your home telephone number. So you key it in. Then it says, I do not recognise that number. Oh,
yeah.
Right, now what do you want me to do? So it says, please wait. Then it comes back and it says, key in your home telephone. So you key it in. Ah, please wait. And then, lo and behold, someone will come on the phone. But it's,
I'll tell you a good way of circumventing that. It definitely works with PayPal. Sometimes with Sky and a couple of other ones. But if you know the key phrases to get to talk to someone and just keep saying them, it will work. So I know with PayPal, if you say agent, but in a really aggressive way, like agent. Every time it asks you, it's like, agent, agent. It will work.
I just press star in the end and I seem to get there.
Yeah, I think yeah, you're right. I think there is always seems to be a password that gets you through to a human being. Yeah. And you're right, it's agent or advisor.
Yeah.
And I just keep saying that. And you're right. And it's so irritating because when it does it, especially if it asks you for information, you know, please enter your 16-digit card number.
That's right, yeah.
And you think, hang on, how am I supposed to... And what I've noticed as well is there's one...
Braille them out. Braille everything.
I need to learn Braille, though. Take me a bit of a while. I need to know what's in my bank before that. But I just think it's just so irritating because, you know, some of them are actually voice-activated as well. So even... You speak...
Did you say this? Did you say that?
Yeah, if you even say something or you have something in the background that's reading it out. Because I did once try it. It didn't work, actually, but I did try having Jaws with the number and hold the phone up to the speaker on my computer and just sort of tap through with my cursor keys, sort of 4186. And then it still said, don't recognise it. And I thought, oh, forget it. Just forget it. I don't need money. It's fine. I'll just live the rest of my life alone. Without money.
Yeah.
Well, but the worst one is when you think you've got to the right thing. It's like, yeah, that's what I want. And then it says, you can find all this on our website and it cuts you off.
Hey, I know, so it's so annoying.
It's useless.
Yeah. Oh, that drives me insane. Alan, what have you started? I know, I hate this automated world we live in. So I want to talk to a human being. Any company, I'm putting it out there right now, any company that says, we have people who will answer our phones, it's a new idea, we're going to try it, actual humans that answer the phone, you get my business. I don't care what you do.
Well, that used to be my job. I was the telephonist.
There you go.
So I just, when I ring these people, I think, for crying out loud, can't somebody just pick a bloody phone up and answer it?
Right, okay.
The worst one is when you've spent lots of money on, let's say, a piece of kit, and then you ring up tech support, and either there isn't anyone there, or it takes hours, and you think, what have they spent all that money on? Not tech support, anyway.
No.
Right, you've got us riled up on that one, Alan. Well done. You've done us well. You've done us proud on that one. Right, okay. Sandra, what's your big issue?
Okay, my big issue is PDF files.
Oh, yeah.
And when people scan something as a photograph and still say it looks the same as text, as opposed to converting text to PDF and telling me it's the same thing, that's my issue. Because JAWS doesn't recognize photo, it'll just say empty document and it won't read it. But when you convert from a text file to a PDF, if you actually use the commands to convert text to PDF, it will actually read it. So you've got, you know, several PDF documents from different people, let's say in the same company. So you could read thingies, and like, yeah, but thingy scanned it in such and such a way. And you can't explain it to a sighted person because it looks the same. So that's my beef.
That's a good one. That's a good one. Alan, I mean, we're talking here, I guess, about, you know, the way the sighted world sees...
it's so natural to them, isn't it?
Yeah.
This is the problem. I mean, I'm a bit of a Luddite once we get to the internet and what have you, but I'm all right with computer. I use a little machine, that Braille Note thing.
Oh, the Braille Note Touch?
Yeah.
Okay.
But, it's how, unfortunately, you know, we're part of the sighted world and sometimes there are things that just happen. You're not going to get there, as when we get to our next subject, which I know what it is, but I can't tell the listener yet. But as we get, again, we're in the sighted world, unfortunately. And I'm not saying nothing should be done about it. I'm merely saying that there are times when it just gets a bit too far.
Yeah, you know, it's an interesting one, right? Because I often wonder, I know a lot of things these days tend to get filed under the pick your battles approach, and I get that and I agree with it to some degree. You cannot live your life totally annoyed about everything all the time.
No.
It's not healthy.
No point in it.
No. But at the same token, there are times where there are things that bother us, and like you say, Sandra, this is something that really irritates you. It's something that's a really easy fix for the person who was sending you that document. You know, how do you approach that? Do you go in kicking and screaming, or do you say, actually, look, if you just did this, it makes my life so much easier?
I take the second approach, and The more bemused they become, the slower I get in my explanation. So I just keep repeating myself, and it's like, this is a photograph. This is not text. It looks the same as text, but it is a photo of text. And the screen reader reads text. I do start talking like that. But it can be very frustrating, and you know, I had computer problems this morning, and it inspires me to just, you know what, I'm going to switch the internet off, I'm going to go just get that. I'm not going to do it. Anyone who wants me can phone me, I'm not going to use the computer anymore, but then I get over myself.
It makes you go like that though.
yeah it does.
Well, like, it's,
you know what?
It's like
life's too short for this.
Yeah, but it's like the thing with the, you know, the calling up and the automation and the calls.
Yeah.
You know, it just, these things just do get you down. Okay, well, those are the big issues. Interesting topics that you've brought up. Stick around, because after the news, we're going to come back and then we're going to talk about pavement parking. Oh, can't wait for that one.
The Daily Connect podcast.
Now, if you're a regular viewer of Doctor Who, you might have spotted a blind character in the show recently. The part was played by Elliot Walwork, and she's been talking to Robert Kirkwood.
In one of the recent episodes of Doctor Who, with Jodie Whittaker as the Doctor, the TARDIS takes them to present-day Norway. There, they come across a boarded-up log cabin that's apparently been abandoned. Of course, it's not abandoned, and the Doctor discovers Hannah, a blind girl who's convinced that there's something sinister lurking outside in the woods. Hannah is played by Ellie Walwork, an 18-year-old blind actor who attended the Royal National College for the Blind, the RNC. She's also a singer-songwriter and posts her original songs and performances on her YouTube channel. She joined me down the line, and we first chatted about her acting work before Doctor Who.
So I did an acting job when I was 11. I went and filmed it was sort of an art house film in Portugal when I was 11. And that was really what got me first into acting. And after that, I got an agent, and then she got me parts over the years. And she specifically works with disabled actors to try and get the mainstream roles.
You were also in Call the Midwife.
Yes, but only for 2 seconds as an extra part. I remember we were waiting around for like the whole day, and we only had about an hour of filming in total. But luckily I was with a lot of my friends, because the people who went on Imagine, that was the film I did when I was 11, also basically did Call the Midwife as well. So I knew everybody there, which was lovely.
Now tell us about Doctor Who. First of all, what was the audition like?
The audition was, well, I went to the casting centre in London, and I went with my dad. And I'd only found out that it was actually Doctor Who about a week before when I'd got the audition side. And I'd prepared it, and I went there, and I went into the audition room. And we were only about supposed to spend about 15 minutes in there, but I spent half an hour in there, I think. And I just had like a really long chat with the casting director, Andy, about the role, really, and what I thought about the character Hannah. And then we did the audition side, like, I think about 3 times in total. And it was a really nice audition. Like, I actually felt like Andy was really, really friendly, and like I was really comfortable as well.
And when did you know you actually had the part?
It must have been about 2 weeks after. I remember it was on a Friday, and I was in school, and my agent had called me about 3 times, and I was like, why am I getting called? Because I knew that that day was the day that I got the part. So I sort of found out whether I got the part.
Mm.
And my dad, I think my dad might have found out before I did, because Louise, my agent, had to call my dad sometimes because I was under 18 at the time. And, well, when I got home, I was at my mum's house, and Louise rung me, and I found out that I got the part, and I just ran around the house screaming, really.
Who was more excited, you or your dad?
Well, I don't really know. I was really, really, really happy. But in terms of the show, my dad was so excited. So was my mum, really, because my mum sometimes watched it with her boyfriend, and my dad obviously has been a massive fan of the show. Mm. So they were both over the moon.
Now, listening to your voice, you're obviously not Norwegian. Did you have a voice coach?
I did, yes. Her name was Sandra, and she was so, so lovely. We must have had about 6 sessions, I think, and she just introduced me to the accent. My grandma's Swedish, so I kind of had a basis of what it might sound like, but I wasn't sure how to replicate it. And so we just had some sessions where, I mean, she'd play me Norwegian music, she'd play me sounds of people speaking, lots of different people speaking, and yeah, it was really nice. And then we got the script through and we just had a go at putting the accent with the line, and it worked really, really well.
Now, was it actually filmed on location, or was it half set, half in that
house?
Half
studio and half, half studio and half location, really. It was, the studio was really, really nice, actually. It was in Cardiff, and the location was a really lovely cottage just outside of Cardiff. I didn't see it, obviously, but I was told it was really, really scenic and actually looked quite Norwegian, funnily enough. And the cottage itself was really, really nice. And, yeah, I mean, it was all very peaceful, I thought.
And I know your character didn't, but between filming, did you have a wee sneaky shot in the TARDIS?
At the time of filming, I don't think the TARDIS was actually finished. I went into the room with the TARDIS set in it, just to have sort of a little look, which was really, really fun. But I didn't actually get to go in the TARDIS itself, which was a bit sad. But my dad came on set and went and saw the TARDIS set and was really, really happy.
Now, I first heard you in, it was a number of years back, but you gave a speech at the Philip Carnegie Awards.
Yes, that's right.
Were you part of the shadowing scheme that year?
I was. So I was a really keen user of the RNIB Library, and I always used to borrow books from there. They offered that I could read and sort of, well, not review exactly, but basically shadow the Carnegie Award nominations. And the following year it was that I did a speech at the ceremony, because reading's always been really, really important to me. I want to study English literature at university. So actually being able to speak at such a prestigious award ceremony was fantastic.
Was it Braille you used mostly, or do you use audio as well?
Well, in an ideal world, I would use Braille. But because of time constraints and also the fact that I'm studying a lot, well, I was studying a lot, now I'm taking a gap year, but I haven't really been able to use Braille. So I usually pair up my note taker with my phone to read books, because it sort of gives me the best of both worlds. I've got the access to books as well as the like Braille aspect of it too.
Now, what's next? Are you going to keep pursuing acting? I know you're a singer-songwriter as well. What's next?
So I'd love to pursue acting professionally, like, more in the future. I kind of want to keep my options open, because I don't want to have to confine myself to any kind of job, because I feel like I'd limit myself then. I want to sort of get into the creative industries. I'm taking, hopefully, if I get in, an English literature degree at university, so that'll open a lot of doors for me. I don't want to purposefully shut my own doors. I want to be able to expand into whatever I choose later in the future.
Norway, definitely Norway. Soil?
A cottage in winter with a chimney but no smoke. What's got you so scared?
It takes you away. It takes you away.
The Doctor Who episode It Takes You Away is available on iPlayer with audio description.
The Daily Connect podcast.
Producer Andy is here. Hello, Producer Andy.
Good morning, Stephen. How you doing?
I'm good. It's time for this.
The Daily Connect.
Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. Hey! Right, what's happening this weekend then?
Well, all sorts. I thought I'd go a bit festive as well. So a bit later on, I'll be talking about Pantos and a few Christmas markets as
well. Oh, no, you won't.
Oh, yes, I will. He's behind you.
Hey.
Yes, all that kind of stuff.
But I don't like horror movies.
Do you not?
No.
Do you not?
Because you said he's behind you. I don't stuff.
I get you. Speaking of films, we'll start off with what films have come out, or what is coming out today and what came out on Wednesday. So the first one I want to talk about is Aquaman.
Legend has it that one day a new king will come who will use the power of the trident to put Atlantis back together again.
My parents made me what I am. I am the protector of the deep.
He is the protector of the deep in his deep voice.
Is that Dwayne Johnson?
No, that's Jason Momoa.
Who?
Was also in Game... Was he in Game of Thrones?
Oh, I don't know. I never watched that.
Anyway, this is the latest DC Comics film. This is Aquaman. We last saw Aquaman in the Justice League film. The reviews.
When's Banana Man coming back?
Oh, but I loved Banana Man.
I loved Banana Man. Eric, remember Eric?
Was it Eric? It was. Yeah.
And then he ate a banana.
Acacia Road, was it?
On who? Street,
where he lived, the road name of.
Oh, right, I see. Yes.
Someone will correct me, I'm sure, on Twitter. I've just must made a faux pas of where he lived.
Aquaman.
This is Aquaman, yes, the latest in the DC Comics series. So you've had Superman and Batman, and he was in that briefly. He was also in the Justice League film from last year. This is his own standalone film now. The reviews haven't been that kind so far, which is a long trend for DC Comics films, right. Yes. But it's out today. It's out today. So if you're interested in that, go along and see it.
Okay.
Also out this week, it's another superhero film. This was out on Wednesday. This is the new Spider-Man film.
Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Miles Morales. Brooklyn! I'm the one and only Spider-Man. At least that's what I thought.
You ever hear of the Super Collider?
You're gonna love this.
Dimension opening now.
You're like me.
That's impossible.
Hey guys.
Who are you?
I'm Gwen Stacy. I'm from another dimension.
How many more spider people are there?
Hey, fellas.
This could literally not get any weirder.
It can get weirder.
Okay.
Do animals talk in this dimension? Because I don't want to freak them out.
This was out on Wednesday. This is Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. It's an animated version of Spider-Man.
Okay.
It's going to open up the world of different universes. So as you may have heard in that clip, it's Spider-Man played, the person this year is Miles Morales. He's Spider-Man. And then, because of some kind of super dimension thing, he meets other Spider-Man from other
spider
worlds.
People.
Spider people, yes. So Nicolas Cage plays one.
PC
and there's
world.
Like all sorts. There's a pig that plays Spider-Man and Spider-Ham, I think it is. It all gets a bit confused and a bit complicated.
A Spider-Pig, that was Simpsons'
that
idea.
That was the Simpsons, yeah, that's why. Yeah. Maybe they stole it from them. Anyway. Mm. So yes, Spider-Man out on Wednesday, and that's getting great reviews so far, so that's supposed to be up there with the best, so good for that.
So Aquaman, you've got Spider-Man, no sign of Banana Man.
No Banana Man just yet. Well, fingers crossed for 2019 we'll get a Banana Man film. Hopefully so.
I hope so too.
TV, one of your favourite subjects. We talk about that.
I love television.
Strictly Come Dancing final is on Saturday. That'll be kicking off at half six. Who is going to win the Glitter Ball trophy? Because it's the final.
Yeah, I imagine someone will.
Someone will, and there'll be a lot of controversy, and a lot of tears will be shed, I'm sure.
But someone will be happy, someone will be less happy, but, you know, it's the taking part that counts.
Yes, yes.
And, you know, other
things
in there.
Yeah, it's live television, so unfortunately
no Brucey, though.
No Brucey, he's not with us anymore, unfortunately.
No,
it's live television, so no AD on that one, I'm afraid. But if you are interested in something that is AD right after Strictly, is Ghostbusters. Now, this is the 2016 version of the film, which was an all-female cast. Mm. I know it's a hot topic right now about female and male and stereotypes and all that kind of stuff, but at 9 p.m. on Channel 4 on Saturday, right after the Strictly final, and it will be audio described as well.
Yes, women can also bust ghosts.
Yes, exactly. A quick mention of some panto. There's Peter Pan in Nottingham this Saturday at 2:30. That'll be audio described in-house. If you're in London, in Hammersmith, Dick Whittington, that'll be also on Saturday. That's at 6 p.m. That's 10 p.m. That's £10 for entry. Some Christmas markets. Do you like Christmas markets?
I do, yeah. I do like going along.
Have you been to the Glasgow one yet?
No.
You know, are you going to?
I will before Christmas.
It gets all kinds of goodies, all kinds of handmade gifts, plenty of food options.
Drink wine outside.
Drink wine and mulled wine, all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Wrap up warm. So, yeah, if you're in Oxford, Glasgow, there's one in Blenheim Palace in Oxfordshire, Cardiff, Bath, Edinburgh, Birmingham, London.
Great one in Edinburgh this year.
Edinburgh's supposed to be one of the best ones.
Brilliant one
this
year.
Yeah, there's one in the Cotswolds, there's one in Belfast, there's one in Manchester. Leeds Castle have one. Interesting to find out that Leeds Castle isn't in Leeds, it's in Maidstone. So if you're in the Maidstone, in the Kent area, pop along to Leeds Castle as well. Plenty to do and say. There will be some of them will be running up until just before Christmas. Some of the bigger ones will be running into January even. So if you've got a lot of money to spend after Christmas, well, I haven't, and I don't think you have either. But if you want to get out of the house and get, well, you know, work off some of that turkey, go to a Christmas market nearby.
Yeah, that's a good point. Okay, well, plenty there. Okay, and, you know, for those like me who like to just sit and do nothing over the weekend, which is what I'll be doing, can I just mention quickly Netflix, mm-hmm, Christmas Chronicles movie, that's what I'm going to be looking out for.
Oh, yes. Yeah, you were raving about the Mowgli as well, which was out in a couple of weeks or so.
Netflix have kind of brought Jungle Book back again. It's actually very well done because it's real characters, you know, live action characters, mm-hmm. Along with talking animals, which I'm all for.
Mm-hmm. Good. Fantastic.
So there you go. So that's something for the weekend.
Something for the weekend. No, that's all. That's all good.
Fabulous. The Daily Connect podcast. This is the Daily Connect on RNIB Connect Radio. Great to have your company. Stephen Scott here with you today. And also with me, Sandra Gare, who presents Music Box. She's the cultured one among us. Hello, Sandra.
Hello, Stephen.
And we also have Alan George, who's the music man from down your way in Wales. Yes, he has Sounds of the Silver Screen. Don't know where that one came from, Alan, but there you go. You can have that.
Why not?
Yeah. You present the Sounds of the Silver Screen show, which is all about music from the movies. Brilliant show, by the way. Both of them are. Thoroughly enjoy them. Let's turn to pavement parking. It's a big topic this week because Guide Dogs, the charity, has come out with a new campaign to try and encourage drivers to be aware of where they park their vehicles. And I just wanted to put it to you guys this week. Since everyone else is talking about it, I thought we should. What's your experience been of pavement parking? Alan, you had a go last time first, so we're going to hand the mic to Sandra. What was your experience been?
Well, I had to have this explained to me because I kind of assumed it was just people mounting the pavement and being stupid and not parking straight. I didn't realise there was a whole kind of lack of curb division causing people to just park on the pavement and having bits of pavement turned into the road. So it is a bit of a mobility horror. I've had one or two altercations with my cane and I'm thinking, you know what? This is the pavement. It's not my fault that your car may have met my cane. So I'm not going to lose any sleep over it. I'm just going to carry on walking.
Okay. Alan?
Well, of course, most of the streets in my area don't... Long ago, of course, you used to step off the pavement onto the road, but now the pavements slant to the road. This is to assist those with a wheelchair, and that's wonderful. But of course now the cars are parked in very strange ways. They're not always parked straight either, so they're anywhere. And they do get a bit annoyed when you hit them with a stick or whatever, because I'm not a guide dog user. So
neither am I.
So I use the stick, and often you get people say, you're hitting my car. Well, yeah, but that's the only way I'm going to know that's the only way I know it's there. And B, I've got to find my way around it. And I said, on dustbin days, it's nearly an impossibility because they've parked right next to somebody's dustbin, which shouldn't be where it is in the first place. So you get a number of factors coming into play where, unfortunately, hello, welcome to the real world. Everybody these days has three or four cars, and so consequently, they just park where they can.
This is the problem, and again, it comes back to this, what can we do about it? Because I think this is a suggestion in the campaign. You know, we need to do something. I guess, though, it's a difficult one to sort of stand up and go to, you know, so say you're walking down the street and you come up against a white van that's parked right over the pavement, you can't get past, you've had to walk around it, maybe onto the road. Say the driver's there, do you approach that person? Would you want to do that? Would that be a comfortable thing to do?
If you know they're there, then yeah, why not? You know, take all the help you can get, and they will help. It's that or dent their van. So it's in their interest to help you.
I guess the question is, what happens if it turns the other way? What happens if it turns negative? If that person becomes rude to you, what do you do?
I think.
Well, don't you touch my car? I don't know. I've never really been in that position because I don't really walk around unaided. I generally have human help as well, so I've got protection.
I've had it once where I hit somebody's poor old van, and they said, "You're hitting my van." I said, "Well, I can't. I've got to find my way around it." And they said, "Well, where do you think I can put it?" I said, "I'm not particularly worried." I said, "But unfortunately, I have to find my way around it. It might help me if you could be kind enough to show me." Yes, all right then. And I got out of the problem simply by suggesting something, which, of course, it didn't dawn on him that if I showed him round past my van, he wouldn't hit it anymore. And so I got out of the problem that way, but it was sheer luck more than anything.
Well, yeah, there's that, but also if he just hadn't parked his van there in the first place...
Well, that would have been useful.
Yeah, I mean...
And I think raising awareness is key. People don't really think, oh, where's the best place I can park to aid the disabled community? I've got a parking space! Hurrah!
Well, that's so, it, isn't it?
They don't really think anywhere near past that. My mum's always sort of thinking about, you know, sometimes when a disabled bay is parked, positioned near a lamppost, and she's like, how's a wheelchair going to get out of that? And I'm thinking,
well, their problems are worse than ours sometimes, because they can't get their wheelchairs through.
And that's the thing. I mean, this isn't just about blind people.
No.
This is about mums with prams. This is about dads with prams.
Yeah.
You know, young parents with young kids. Even walking the dog down the street. You know, you don't want to walk out in the middle. Nobody wants to walk out in the middle of a road.
No.
At any point. That's why they have this thing called a pavement. And, you know, if
yeah.
they come, and I get, I think the other thing I've heard this week a lot is, you know, well, there's a lot of people who just, there's no other place they can park. You know, for whatever reason, maybe it's a very small street that, you know, and you see this a lot now in sort of suburb areas, you'll see, you know, cars parked right up in pavements because the street's just too narrow. You couldn't have all the cars parked on the road that, you know, one would get past. So that's a thing, but it is about saying, well, if you just give us a little bit more space.
Yeah. Somewhere where we can walk, please. I don't mind, you know.
Well, again, awareness is key because you will get situations like that, but you will equally get people who just don't think about it. They park in the first parking space they can find
and walk
to the destination because it's the fastest walk. But if they park a bit further away, so they can walk a bit further because walking isn't anything to the able-bodied community in general. And it means that their car will be less interfered with in terms of paintwork if they parked in a safer way, that may be a bit further away from their destination, because mostly it is about, you know, it's pouring rain, I want the parking space as close to my destination because I don't want to get wet, and oh, it's on the pavement, doesn't matter. They don't think about the disabled people, so raising awareness is key.
Okay, so let me throw something into let me just throw a spanner in here, right? Because I wonder, and I ask this genuinely, I'm not just saying this to cause an argument, I am wondering, should we expect people, just you know, your average Joe, to actually fully understand and appreciate the needs of disabled people? Should we expect that?
No, you can't.
I don't think we should expect that, but I think the campaigns and things, isn't that part of the point of a campaign, to raise awareness?
You can help make them aware, but you can't expect them to know. It's like us trying to understand some disability we've never heard of until somebody tells you or explains about it. You can't know. But I don't think you can expect it. But you can hope that if they're made aware of the problem, they may suddenly think, oh yeah, never thought of that.
Exactly.
Well, it's been really interesting having you guys on. You know, you need to do this again sometime, both of you. Really enjoyed this. Sandra, you're back on Monday at 7 o'clock with the Music Box.
That's on Sundays as well, so if you miss Monday, you can get it this Sunday.
It's on a Sunday as well, is it?
I tell you, Alan, I'm going to write you a list. Alan George, when are you on the radio?
I'm on a Monday morning at midday. Then I'm on a Saturday evening at 6 p.m. And I come back on Sunday at midday.
Fantastic.
But the two shows are repeats. The Monday is the start, and then the Saturday and Sunday are the repeats.
Okay.
Well, my Monday evening at 7 is the main one, and then Sunday mornings at 8 and Sunday evenings at 7 are the repeat programs.
Oh, thanks. Well done. You give me the times. Thank you.
Just for
you're
Alan.
Welcome.
Sandra and Alan, thank you so much. It's been great talking to you on the forum today.
Thank you.
It's been a fun conversation.
And that's it for the forum. That's it for the podcast. Thank you so much for downloading. We'll see you Monday.
The Daily Connect Podcast.